because they are as much part of the Scripture as John 3:16. They're as much a part of the Scripture as Genesis 1:1 or Revelation. The Psalms, I don't know why I'm telling you this. You know it's true because it's right in there. But I'm proclaiming, I guess this is not teaching, this is proclaiming. You know, to speak the obvious sometimes is preaching. Preaching is proclamation. Teaching is explanation. So for preaching, proclamation is to say the truth out loud so the whole world can hear. So that the truth is out there and spoken. That's what preaching is. Teaching is explanation. You take the scripture and you break it down and you find the other references and scriptures that apply to that same subject or that same person, you know, and you're following a path that shows what God did and is doing and how He did it and how He's doing it. That's teaching, right? So we have teaching, but we have proclamation, which kind of gets rid of your head in a lot of ways. Preaching and proclamation kind of, well, because you're not flipping through pages, you are hearing God speak by the Holy Ghost. Amen? So when I say the Psalms are important as any other part of the Bible, that tells you that God is taking those Psalms and speaking to you through them. And it's not because you found a verse that applied to you. I've always said this about the Scripture. You're not finding verses that apply to you. Once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do that. You could go look for Scriptures that apply to you. But what you want to do is you want to take the Psalms and you want to hear the voice of God. Today we'll do Psalm 16. Could do Psalm 1. Could do Psalm 116. God will speak to you. You will hear His voice. And the more you read them, the more you will... And any part of the Scripture, obviously. The more you read them, the more you will hear the voice of God. You will learn what His voice sounds like. You know, it's like Jesus said it, "My sheep hear My voice." Isn't that true? My sheep hear My voice. Well, if you're His sheep, you will hear His voice. And He is there to guide you, to lead you, to make sure He leads you into green pasture, into good place. He'll take you to a place where you'll get fed by some of His under shepherds, some of His helpers. You know, He'll help you to learn how to hear the Word of God. And in fact, you will learn to hear His voice so well and so quietly and so distinctly that through all the noise, you will be able to distinguish truth from error. Amen. You'll be able to distinguish. You do distinguish truth from error because you're born of the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit speaks to you and will guide you and direct you. Don't be afraid that you're going to miss God or God's going to... Now, will you miss God? Sure. But don't be afraid of that, right? Don't be afraid of that. Just walk with the Lord. Just walk with the Lord. Praise Him as you go and declare Him. And I'm speaking to the choir, you know. I'm speaking to the choir here so I can move on. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right, Psalm 16 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in You do I put my trust." Now, the first line of that above that says, "Miktam of David." It's just that word "miktam" is kind of nebulous. Most scholars don't even know what that is. Some people think it's a musical instruction. The root says something about golden, something that is golden or highly valued or highly important, maybe with respect to being of God or something that's a psalm that will be direct you into the presence of God. So it may be like just a poem, it's a golden poem is another option that is in there. And it's a lot of people have looked at it for over a long period of time. So it is either a poem or a golden poem, a poem of importance. All right. So if it's important and he put it in there, well, then we'll go ahead and go with it. Amen. God brought this Bible down to right here. Well, how'd they put it all together? A bunch of guys sat in a room and, you know, fought it out, punched each other and, you know, griped and complained, took out a bunch of books, put in a bunch of books. I believe this is God brought this word to us. And then God brought this word to the reformers in 500 and translated it into the language of the common people. To do what? To, you know, if God didn't want this language in the language of the common people, he could have prevented it, right? But God put this word, this Bible, the one we have, in the language of the common people, and then he shot it out like a rocket in 1500 and some odd on a printing press. I mean, he might as well have had Facebook. You know, it was the Facebook of the day. You have brochures and pamphlets. Remember in the 1700s went out in the American colonies. You remember that? I mean, that's how they got the message out about liberty and freedom and that we needed to be free from England in the United States, is sending out these pamphlets. It went to everybody. Well, that's what this Bible did. It went to everybody. Well, people didn't know how to read. Well, there was enough. It went out to the pastors who did know how to read, and it got preached in the pulpits, because the Reformation brought the focus of the ministry of the Word of God to the center of the church. That's why the pulpit, and by and large, is either way high up in some of these churches. You know, it's very high. You know, the guy walks up the steps to the almost halfway to heaven, you know, to preach the word, or it's right in the center here. In the traditional churches, certainly the Catholic and then some of the other liturgical churches, which is mainly Lutheran, is the offshoot of the Catholic with respect to the communion being a major focus. But of course, you know, Luther made the word the focus of the church. So no longer was the Mass and the communion the focus of the church, but the Word of God, which brings you to salvation. That was the focus of the church, because what God says, His Word, is what sets you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So here we are.
Here's a sidebar, just real quick.
Sure.
To indicate what it took to get what we have. Raul knows this. He and I are in the same industry, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember the old lead type days, all that. But these guys carved these letters, one letter at a time, out of wood, and put them in a tray, a letter at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That book has a lot of letters.
For the printing press, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the printing press.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to create the little letters, you know, and I don't know what that was, German, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gutenberg. And then you had...
immense amount of time.
Then you had different sizes of type. Different sizes of type. Different sizes of letters. And you printed it one page at a time.
Yeah.
How many pages are in your Bible? They printed thousands of Bibles, and it was the same Bible, generally. It was the same. Actually, it had more books, because most of the Bibles still had the Apocrypha in them, those books that the Catholics had in there that the Protestants took out. So you had all, and it was a little bit slower process than type it up a post and hit go.
A little bit.
Yeah. But it's like electric cars, you know. You can go, you know, 200 miles. Well, here in about 5 years, you'll be able to go 1,000 miles. And the battery will be about the size of Joe's purse. Yeah. How big's your purse, Joe?
Yeah.
Do you have one of those?
Yeah.
That's too big.
That's too big.
That's too big. That's right. Joe's wallet. Joe's wallet's pretty big anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, Psalm 16 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you do I put my trust." Preserve me, that means, what does preserve mean? That means, you'll make me last a long time. You'll protect me, make me last a long time. "For I put my trust in you." So he's tied these two things together, your preservation and God, and trust in God. That's what brings it. That's what brings your preservation. Amen? Not planning for the future, not, you know, watching before you cross the street, you know. It's preserve me. Trusting in God is what preserves you. You know, I could meditate on that all day long. We could, you know, amen. "Preserve me, O God, for I put my trust in you." That's the first verse of this psalm. Amen. Could you enjoy that for a while? That is so powerful. And he says in Psalms 37:3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land." Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, is your good having to do with your salvation, with how much God loves you? No. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Just doing good. Just doing good. I mean, now, can you do good? No, you're an evil person. You can't do good. But if you're trusting in the Lord, who does the good? He do. He does. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't separate those phrases. Trust in the Lord and do good. Let the good of God come out of you. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land. Remember when Jesus was in their boat and the storm was raging. And all of a sudden Jesus gets in the boat and says, "Peace be still." And where was the boat? What happened to the boat? All of a sudden they were at the land. They had arrived. Trust in the Lord and do good. So in that way, you will dwell in the land. You'll dwell where at God's destination for you. So we're trusting in the Lord. So he says, "Preserve me, O God, for I trust. I put my trust, and then trust in the Lord and do good, and you will dwell in the land." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, everybody knows that. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Wow. Just meditate on these things. Amen? So proud. So excited. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. You know what day that was? That was the day of His crucifixion. That was a prophetic day. That was a prophetic word that was from the Old Testament assigned to the Messiah. This is the day that the Lord has made. The day of my crucifixion for the saints, for my people, is the day the Lord has planned. I will rejoice. Well, it sounds like a bad day. I read the agenda for the day. It doesn't end well for me in the natural. But that's okay, because God is doing a new thing in the earth. God is doing something that will change me and cause me. And all of these things that I'm saying have to do with rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord what?
Always.
Always. And, oh, did you hear me? Again. I just see you didn't hear it. Again, I say. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
And again I say, rejoice. Did you hear it? Amen. Verse 2 in Psalm 16 says, which is on verse 2, "Oh my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my God." You are my Lord. "My goodness extends not to you," verse 3, "but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. So, you're talking to your inside, your decision maker, your mind, your will, your emotions, oh my soul. If you look over in Psalm 103, of course, it says, you know, it tells you that bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's like you're standing in front of the mirror commanding your soul what to do. Do you know you can do that? As a Christian, you must do that. You must tell your soul what's the truth. Now, the soul may argue, and you may not perfectly, you know, walk in that, but your spirit speaks to your soul and declares, like right here, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Well, who's saying that? Well, you're saying, oh my soul. So you're talking to you. Somebody's talking to you, and it's somebody talking to your soul, and the way that the pronouns work, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So I'm commanding my soul to bless the Lord, right? So he says right here. Oh my soul. Now, I will caveat this by saying that the words oh my soul don't actually appear in the Hebrew. Because it's right there. If you're in your Bible, if it's in italics, that means those actual words in that are not right there. Okay? What that means is the interpreters added them to make the text flow in English more smoothly. But it is. But whatever you see in the italics, is it could be wrong, but it's implied. But then maybe you'll look at 25 translations, and if it's all the same, you're going to say, yeah, I believe people were hearing God. That this was very close to what he's saying. So when he finally gets around to you have said, those words are in there. You have said, so that if we start verse 2, it just says, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. So you're talking, so the implication is that you're talking to yourself. Okay? And they just put it in there. Oh my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Oh Lord, you are my God. My goodness extends not to you. My kindnesses, my good deeds are not to you. And again, you know, these words are, you have to follow, you know, what is implied in the Hebrew. But my goodness is not to bless God. God doesn't need anything from me. But verse 3, it says, but my goodness is to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. So he's blessing the saints. Amen? So every good thing that you do is for the people of God. Amen? You know, hey, God, did you like that? I don't care. God's like, I don't care. You know, but what I do care about is that you're blessing, that Joe's blessing Cynthia. You know, he's like, yeah, I like that. You know, don't you like that when your kids do that? You know, when you watch your kids do blessing and kindness to people who are around them. Oh, you're like, oh, man, I did it right. You know, I taught them and they received it. That's how God loves that. God loves it when we get the word, when we get it. When we receive the word. Because what happens is Raul gets blessed by Andrew, you know. And so God is joyful at that, you know. And he loves that because, you know, it's not all about just, you know, okay, get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, work a miracle and go to heaven. It's love, isn't it? It's love, isn't it? Because every day, I mean, a miracle comes and goes, but every day is what? I meet Jack, or Jack meets somebody he doesn't know, and God moves in him to love that person. And that person then is exposed to the love of God. So my goodness is not to God, it's to the saints. And I'm sorry, I didn't look up who was excellent. So, but you can do that. But to the saints that are in the earth. Amen. So So I delight. Did you know you delight in the saints? Do you know that you delight in the saints? I'm not that big into the saints. Anybody like you, like me? You know, I'm just not big into the saints. They're kind of. People are grumpy. They have bad attitudes, and I'm really not into it. You know, but no, the truth is the love of God. Romans 5 is what? Shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You are an ambassador of the love and the goodness of God. So that's what this psalm is talking about, is God is preserving you as you trust Him, so He takes care of your needs so that you are out meeting the needs of people, of the people of God. Or how about the people who are not yet of God? Maybe you're just bringing along the gospel to somebody. Amen? You're bringing along the gospel to somebody. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 4, look there. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer. That's me as a believer in the Lord. Nor take up their names into my lips. Now, I'm not going to go see Barbie, you know, or I'm not going to go see, I don't need to see Oppenheimer. Because I could read more on the internet about Oppenheimer without exposing myself to all kinds of other things that apparently are in that movie. I was going to go to Oppenheimer. Oh, it'd be interesting to go see that movie about the atom bomb guy and all that. But then you find out there's just stuff in there you just don't even need to see. You know, you can just write it off. You know, in other words, sexual scenes. You know, and things that are just but more than just, you know, there's somebody, two people going in a room and closing the door. I mean, there's more to it in there, apparently, in that movie than that. You know, and so much of the world that we allow, right? So much of the world that we allow, and we've done that over the years. Frog in the pot, right? Is that, you know, you're getting boiled and you don't even know it. You're being transformed into this world in your outer man, in your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know, you go to church on Sunday, and you hear the Word of God, but then you get out and you participate in the world in so many ways. And, you know, that's happened gradually, and we've done that then to our children in schools. Is that you're introducing them to all kinds of ideas. You don't need to introduce them to ideas. Your children don't need to know ideas. They're going to fall into enough trouble just with what they don't know. How about if you fill them full of things that they shouldn't know, right? Is you know, trying to teach them, get them to doubt who they are when they look in the mirror. Trying to get them to wonder what things are, you know, with little boys and little girls. You know, is all of these things that the world has begun to do, and they started that. I mean, back in the 1900s. You know, Horace Mann and John Dewey. You know, the guys who the father of modern education and the father of the libraries, Dewey Decimal System. These guys were wicked in their. You know, they did some decent things with the Dewey Decimals, but you are looking at men who are trying to take the children of the day in our day and take them away from parents and teach them a society, a view of society and the world that is designed to get them to forsake God. That God is no longer relevant. God is no longer, His word is no longer to be revered and feared, which is evil because it's not true, because God is God. Because the Word of God is the Word of God. Yet, you know, we're back to the days of Noah. You know, every man did what was right in his own eyes. The thought of every man was only evil continually. Amen. So that's what we do. But without the Word of God, that's where we end up. Without the Word of God, that's where we end up. So that's why he says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but come together to hear the Word of God, to hear the gospel, not to hear some man's opinion on, you know, how we ought to treat one another, You know, but to hear what the gospel says, the word of God says about love and loving your neighbor, and whether it's telling them the truth or encouraging them in their sin. So many churches just encourage people in their sin. Amen. Over in Romans chapter 13, where he says that God set up governments, and he says he is the minister. Here's the qualification of the government of God. You want to know what it is? He is the minister of God to thee for good. He is the minister of God to thee for good. That's his job description. If he is not the minister of God to thee for good, I would recommend that if you have the opportunity to get rid of him, you do it. Amen. And we have that here. We don't have it in Russia. We don't have it in China. It'd be hard to get Xi out. It'd be hard to get Putin out. You know, he just arranges the election to where he gets elected every time. Now they're trying to do that here. Or are they? You know, well, maybe I'm just a little paranoid. No, every time man has an opportunity to do such a thing, to get their guy in, they're going to do it. Amen. And if they can cheat and do it, it makes it just easier, right? I mean, it's easier. It's cheaper. It's cheaper if you can just cheat. You know, that way you don't have to spend money on it. You can get more people put in. You can get more people elected. But what I'm saying to you is that these are the... So their sorrows shall be multiplied that run after other gods. So all of these folks who are desiring to deny God and deny... Because they don't like God. They don't like God to be over them. They, you know, we're going to get ourselves free. Psalm 2, right? You know, the kings of the earth groan and they rage, you know, and let us break their bands asunder. Who's he talking about? God and his people. Let us break their bands asunder. We'll get, you know, we're going to knock down God. You know, it's just like the devil, you know, wanted to do, you know, over in Isaiah, right? He says, you know, I will ascend on the heights of the Most High. You know, I'll to the sides of the north. I'll do it. You know, I'm going to be like God. Well, no, you're not. Number one, no, you're not. You know, I mean, you can make all kinds of noise, but you're not. In fact, you are dead. If you think those things, you're already dead. And the devil, the enemy, has already got you deceived. If you think that you're going to kind of figure a way to get rid of God, which is what these folks have done, they're already dead. They're already deceived. Their life is over. Now, they could repent. Granted, we want them to repent. Because God wants them to repent. Amen? God wants these folks to repent. So he says, the sorrows will be multiplied. He's giving you a warning, a declaration. Those who follow after, hasten after another god, their drink offerings of blood will... So you're saying their traditions. So their drink offerings of blood. What is that? That is going to see Barbie. I mean, it's not necessarily going to see him. But what I'm saying is you're giving yourself over to the practices of the world, right? You're saying, yeah, it's okay. Well, you know, what happens is you begin to get deeper and deeper into the mud, and it's going to be harder and harder to get back when you get in trouble. It's harder and harder to get back. Once your feet are stuck in the mud, it's harder and harder to get back because the enemy wants to then say, you are too far gone. Right? And so, you know, what I'm teaching you today is how to minister to people. Unless it applies, and then go ahead and receive it. But how to minister to other people. How to help people out. Don't fall into that. Well, it's okay. There's plenty of scripture that indicates that, you know, people just fall into foolishness and fall into sin. And then they get off into things and that they have a very difficult time getting back. The prodigal son, you know, he's off and off, and it just kept going and kept going and kept going. And all of a sudden, he's in one of the worst places you could ever be. But somehow, he came to himself, and his father was praying. His father was out on the front out on the driveway every day. That's our Father. That's your Father. God's always going to wait for you. He's always going to wait for you. But are you going to go back? Are you going to go home? Is that person going to go home? Help them. Help them not commit suicide. I don't want to get that involved. Well, ask what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, because He'll get you involved. You know, you had the Sounds of Freedom. The guy, you know, he was arresting perpetrators of human trafficking. But all of a sudden, it came to him. What about the kids? What about the kids? What about the victims? Who's going to help them? You know, and who's going to get them? And who's going to help them? And these are the ones he was going after was the ones who were outside the jurisdiction of the United States government. They were out in foreign countries. So in other words, you can't just send in a bunch of SWAT team and go arrest, you know, the guy, because he's got a little army out there. It's like these cartels down in Mexico. You know, you can't just, the SWAT team doesn't go down there. It's just you. So you're going to have a Jesus if you go do that, if the Holy Spirit leads you to do it. But God might lead you to do it. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a place that you didn't even know how you were able to make a difference like that, but you are. You're able to make a difference because when God leads you, just like the disciples, when God leads you to a different place and a different part of the country, maybe a different part of the country in your city, maybe a different person. Maybe you're still living in your house, but God has now led you to a person in a different part of the city who you now have an influence over for the Word of God. You are transforming lives just living in your house. You're transforming lives. You know, God uses everybody everywhere. Well, I couldn't do this or that. Yeah, but God will have you doing this or this. God's got a job. He's got a place for everybody in the work of the gospel, in the work of the kingdom of God. So like he said, the warning is that their sorrows will be greatly multiplied that hasten after another God. So that's talking to believers. That their drink offering, his commitment is, their drink offering of blood will I not offer, nor will I take up their names into my lips. In other words, I'll not participate in that. No. Thank you, Jesus. And so God, keep me from wickedness and foolishness. You know, from believing a lie. Right? Verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my lot. You maintain me. You maintain everything that concerns me. The Lord will perfect. Janet's favorite verse. The Lord will perfect that which is, well, it's one of them. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Right? So he says that you will maintain my stuff. So the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. So the Lord is taking charge of my inventory. Okay? You know, God takes care of your inventory. Well, I can't go do that. Everything will fall apart here. How about, you know, Karen. I mean, she's running like, yeah, like a chicken with her head cut off. She's doing a lot of work. But God can makes a way for her to branch out and become a blessing in other ways that she never knew how that could possibly happen. I mean, I got too much going on. Said, God is going to take care of my inheritance and my cup, and He will maintain my lot. You know, while I am, you know, in His presence doing those things. Psalm 23, that's what I said. Verses 5 and 6, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, are you going to eat and have a banquet in the presence of your enemies. My God, don't you have to have your sword at your side and get ready to jump up at any moment? You anoint my head with oil. My cup, there's his cup, your cup runs over. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. That is my sustenance. All right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Everybody say surely. See, if you don't say surely, you don't believe it. You know, the other part is, without the surely, it's just wishful thinking, right? No, surely, for sure, without a doubt, goodness and mercy. How are you? Perfect. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days. There it is, right there. It's right with me. I'm dead. I just don't even have to look back. Goodness and mercy are following me around. Isn't that true for you? Say, yes, it is. Say, you don't want to say yes, it is, because you want to look back. You don't want to look back and check. No, I say it with honest, God, thank you that goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, starting right now. Mark 14, 23 to 24. And he took the cup, Jesus, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. He gave them the cup, and they all drank of it. Let's drink of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." So it's not just shed for you, it's shed for many, you know. When you read it out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the quote he said it's shed for you and for many. So it's shed for you and for many. So there's more. There's more than just you. It's not exclusive. You're not exclusive. Jesus shed his blood for many, for everybody else. When he talks about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, he says, "This is for you and for all those who are afar off." Those here, those outside of here, and those who are afar off. Now, could that mean not only like out-of-towners, but it could mean you and me today? All right? Verse 6, "The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a goodly heritage." The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. If you look over at Romans chapter 8, verse 28, what does it say? Everybody knows it. And we know. Everybody say, and we know. We know that all things, it's good to know things, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Back to our verse 6, the lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Everything's going my way. Everything's going my way. You know what? People could look at you and they can say, "Everything ain't going your way. I've seen you. I've seen your..." Yeah, but look at my response to whether everything's going my way or not. Is that I'm rejoicing in all things. Is I'm going to rejoice. No matter what takes place, I'm going to rejoice because I know that all things are working together for good. You know, you can wad it all up, you know, get them all together and throw them out in the ground and it'll all turn out good for me. Well, it's not. I'm watching your life. Everything in your life is chaos. It's horrible. I mean, how can you smile when you get up in the morning? Because I have a big God, and all things are working together for my good, and they're going my way. Well, you're crazy. Maybe. You know, but I believe the truth. I believe that God is for me, not against me. If God be for me, who? Just come on. Come on, line them up. Yeah, who can be against me? Well, hey, look, he just stabbed you through with a sword. Well, praise God, Stephen said, you know, as he got rocked to death. I'm going to be with Jesus. I see Jesus. And Jesus is loving all of y'all. Oh, you know, just made him, I mean, Paul mad. Saul was sitting right there, you know, irritating the fire out of him. You know, I mean, the guy is just rejoicing, dying on the ground with rocks hitting him and saying, Jesus, I see the face of Jesus. And he just smiling. He just loving all of y'all. You know, isn't that true? This is you. This is you. The lions are falling unto me in pleasant places. And I have a goodly heritage. Amen. Verse 7. See, this is Psalm 1. It's Psalm, not 116. Psalm 16. And you can just, I mean, you could dig gold out of this thing. Amen. I mean, there's gold in here. You know, if you read a psalm so fast that you can't even breathe, you know, I got my reading done for today. Well, did you? You know, we were talking about that, you know, we were talking about Romans 1 and 2. You know, you need context, granted. You need context for the whole passage, right? But then, slow down and let the Holy Spirit show you things that you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. Write that down. Jeremiah 33:3 is a scripture that God gave to me through a couple who was at the church that I was at before Janet and I got married. I'd already been called by the Lord to minister, to be a pastor, I believed at the time. And so brother and sister Urchenko, must have been from Eastern Europe somewhere, or Russia. I think they were from Russia. I think I said that wrong yesterday. But she came, she says, I can't remember her name. His name was Michael. And they came to me, but they would come as the humblest couple you ever met. They would come and they would have a word for you. It says, and the scripture was, what was the scripture? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I received that. I'm 65 today, by the way. Wow. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm on Medicare. Praise the Lord.
I know, you know, I'm getting Medicare.
Janet's married to an old white-haired man. Yeah, praise the Lord. But yeah, so that was, must have been, I think I was 16, 17, or 18. And so anyway, that was a long time ago. And about 50 years ago, call unto me, God said, and I will answer you. If you call to me, I'll answer. That's a promise. Call unto me. They said it to Jeremiah, you know, maybe he meant just Jeremiah. But no, he put it in the Bible. And he gave it to me. I believe it'll be for me. I don't think God's any respecter of persons. He's not just going to call out Jeremiah and throw a promise out there and not let me have it. Amen? I'll receive that promise. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whosoever. Is that you? Are you whosoever? I'm whosoever. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Well, he's done that. I believe. You know, if anybody's been blessed, I'm happy. You know, thank God. So he said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins, in this case, reins is translated my mind, also instruct me in the night seasons. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. And my reign, my mind also, instruct me in the night seasons. Psalm 63:6 says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. So he's going to come visit me while I'm sleeping. He's going to come visit me in the night watches. You know, the night watches are, you know, nighttime, you know. The watches were when soldiers or security guards, you know, because you had people out who were always out doing bad things at night. Some things never change. People, nothing good happens after midnight, right? Usually after 10 p.m. Remember, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? You'll make sure you get them home. Because even back in the 60s, nothing good happened after the news. That's when they made all the news. Is after 10 p.m. And then you heard about it the next night. Amen. Keep your kids home. Keep your grandkids home. When I remember thee, Lord, Psalm 63:6, upon my bed. So remember him upon your bed. When you get in bed, remember him. And meditate on thee in the night watches. So meditate upon God at night. Think about him. Spend time in his presence at night. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Of course, you can go back and read Psalm 91. Now look over. Here's verse... Now, these last verses here, Peter in Acts 2, verse 25 to 28. So let's look at that for a minute. Acts 2, verse 25. This is Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. And Peter is talking, part of his message, talking about David. That Jesus had raised him up, that Jesus had been, God had raised Jesus up. And verse 25 said, for David speaks concerning Jesus. I foresaw, and here's what he says in Psalm 16. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you shall make me full of joy with your countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David that is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. All right? That's over in Peter talking about David expecting Jesus to be born and to come and to save his people. Now, looking here at Psalm 16, verse 8, let's see what... Peter was referring to. Verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because he... Oops. I can't read my own handwriting. Because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. I have set the Lord always before me. This is Jesus, actually. So this is a prophetic psalm. at this point. This is a prophetic psalm, is that now Jesus is the pre-existent or the pre-incarnate Christ, pre-being born into a body. He is saying these things. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. So God is talking about Him. Jesus is at the right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. So He's talking about the pre-existent Christ. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope, for You will not leave my soul in hell. Jesus is talking to the Father. Neither will You allow Your Holy One to see corruption. So Jesus was killed, but He was not destroyed. Amen? Jesus, His body, He bore our sins in His own body. On the trees, because sins are of the body. Sins, flesh, are of the body. So the body is what is destroyed and killed. So the body of Jesus bore the sin, the penalty of sin for you. He didn't go to hell and suffer. But some Christians and teachers will say that Jesus went to hell and suffered. No, He did not have to suffer in hell. Because what He did was delivered you from the power of sin in His body on that cross. So and Jesus said, what did He say when he laid down His head? It is half done. No, He didn't say it was half done. He said, well, I got to go beat up the devil. No. If He did go, when He did go down there, He went and preached deliverance to the captives. He said, okay, guys, talk to Abraham and also, you know, anybody who had had faith in the gospel, in the promised Christ. He goes to paradise, which is where Jesus goes. Why, anybody know where Jesus went after He was crucified? He died, breathed His last, gave up the ghost. Where'd He go? What did He tell the thief next to Him? Today you will be with Me in hell. No, He didn't say that. He said, today you will be with Me in paradise, the place of the dead. And then over in Peter talks about how, you know, He went and preached to those who were in prison. He preached to those who were held captive. He set the captives free and marched them out. You know, it doesn't quite say it like that. But Jesus collected all those who were by faith, because now sin was no longer an obstacle. Sin was no longer an obstacle. I mean, it was a nice hotel. Don't get me wrong. I mean, paradise was, you know, a pleasant outfit. You know, it wasn't. He was looking across a chasm. Remember Abraham and Lazarus. You know. And we're in paradise, but they're remember the story of the rich man over the rich man and Lazarus, and that rich man was over there in a flame. He was in a torment. But Abraham and Lazarus were not in a torment. They were in a pleasant environment with air conditioning. You know? And so there they were. So Jesus bore your sins in His own body on the tree. Didn't go to hell, went to paradise, preached to those who are already the faithful, believing forward to the crucifixion, to the Messiah, delivering them from sin, and then they go together into the presence of God. To be absent from the body, the Scripture said, is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I've set the Lord always before me. Let's see, where are we now? Verse 10, for You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will You allow Your Holy One to see corruption. So Jesus did not see corruption. He got up out of the grave third day, made his bed, got up and saw Mary. Then he said, "Don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father." Well, then he gets back after the end of the day and visits with the guys down going to Emmaus, right? You know, and then he goes to Emmaus and breaks bread with them, and then he disappears, and then they run to Jerusalem to report, "Oh my gosh, we saw the Lord!" And so then he shuffles over to the upper room over in Jerusalem. He was in Emmaus. He runs over there. But he wasn't out of breath when he got there. Didn't say. And so, but he just pops into the upper room. And those guys come running in. Because they just run 7 miles from Emmaus to, what you call it? And Jesus just, boom, boom, there he is. He just appears in the room. And says, "Peace be to you." And they're like, "Oh my gosh." Because that's the first time they saw him. And then he breathed on them. And he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I believe right then they got born again. But again, you know, the whole point was is that Jesus came back from the dead, had not been to hell. He just went to the Hades, a place in under the earth. He went to a place under the earth, which was where paradise was located, and he cleared it out. Verse 11 says this, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Let's meditate on that. Verse 1 said, "Preserve me, O God, for I put my trust, put in you do I put my trust." Then verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy." So don't do verse 4. Don't hasten after another God, because God will show you the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So the path of life leads to is in His presence. And in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, where I'm sitting with Christ, seated with Him with Christ in heavenly places. Where's Christ? On the right hand of God. Where are you seated? With Him. Where's that? In heavenly places. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. How often are you at His right hand? I'm always there. I'm there right now. Aren't you? I'm at His right hand right now. I'm seated together with Him. I'm seated together with Him. Here. I'm seated together with Him. Where? In heavenly place. Well, you look like you're sitting in the church. No. Well, yeah, in my physical body, but that's okay. I guess it's a powerful psalm, isn't it? But you know what? They're all powerful. Dig, 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 dig. Dig into the Scriptures. Come find them. Amen? Come find them. Find the Scripture. Father, we love you. Thank you that you're at your right hand. You will lead me in the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Father, we give you praise and ask you to reveal these things to us. Father, let us walk in your presence. Let us walk in your and by trusting in you, that you preserve me. It's like something that needs to be preserved. Keep me fresh. Keep me alive. Let me be a blessing to those who do not know Jesus. Father, let me be an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for each one of us here today that walk in this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.